Welcome everyone to another episode of the Let's Do It Afraid podcast. Today, Yvette and I are so excited. We have such a special guest. I am totally fangirling right now because I am such a fan. She is an amazing vocalist, a songwriter. She's such a beautiful human being. We have Miss Daze Margarita. How are you doing today, Daze?
Hi everyone, I'm doing great. So happy to be here on this beautiful Monday. My Monday just got a lot better.
So sweet. So one question that we like to start all of our interviews with is, what is a fear that you are currently kind of dealing with in this very moment?
Yeah, that's a great question, especially because, I mean, I think fears change all the time. For me personally, present day, one of my biggest fears is not trusting myself in a way that it'll influence my decisions. So maybe not trusting my intuition that then leads me to a different path and maybe makes me make a choice that I shouldn't have made, or, you know, like just fear of not making the right decisions and not following that path that is meant to be for me. So I think that's probably my biggest fear right now, and just maybe being influenced by like other things, other people. So just really trying to stay true to myself.
A really good one. I've never heard that one before, but I like that answer.
Thanks.
I mean, it sucks that you're dealing with it, but it is, I don't know, like it's just so nice for you to share something so vulnerable.
Right.
Then I'm sure there are other people that are probably dealing with that as well in this very moment. Do you want to tell everyone a little bit about yourself?
Yes. Oh, man, where do I start? I feel like I'm all over the place these days. So I do go by Daze Margarita, and that is my artist name. I love making music. I love performing. But on an everyday kind of routine, I'm also a legal assistant for a nonprofit organization called VIDAS. And I'm also just started working for the County of Sonoma for a children's shelter. So now I'm working in that as well. So I have a wide range of things that I deal with, people that I deal with, but above all, I love the diversity of it.
Beautiful. I knew that you worked at VIDAS. I didn't know about the children one.
Yeah, the children's shelter is like super new. I'm still kind of in the process of training and stuff. It was a really long hiring process. I think it took me maybe like since April. Yeah, so then they just got back to me like late September, and they're just like, okay, everything's cleared. You're all good to go. Do you want to join the team? And I was like, yes. It's just an extra higher position, but hopefully working my way up to something bigger.
Well, that's great. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
When those, I mean, I guess when those thoughts kind of come up in you, Daisy, where you're like not really trusting yourself, or you're kind of scared of not trusting yourself, is there something that you do that maybe helps you to overcome that, or reminds you that you can make the best decisions for yourself?
Right. I think it's just a lot of strengthening the relationship that I have with myself, and also strengthening my relationship with God. So recently I found a lot of security, a lot of safety in that. I kind of steered away from it for a while, like religion in specific, because growing up I had an idea of what religion was, and you know, what I followed through, what my parents kind of implemented onto us. But as I've kind of grown up, and you know, there was a time that I felt very guilty, because I was like, man, like, I'm not really following what my parents like taught me when I was growing up, but like, I don't know if that's what I want to do. So it was a lot of, I don't know if I want to call it trial and error, but just kind of experimenting with different things. But now present day, I've kind of just been working on my personal relationship with God and what that means to me. And in that, I'm also working on a relationship with myself, make it stronger. And I think through that, I've been able to become more trusting in myself, and trusting that whatever happens is going to happen, and everything's meant to be for a reason.
That's beautiful, Daze. I think that's really normal. I mean, you're very young, right? You're like in your early 20s?
25.
Yeah, okay, well, you're still very, very young.
Yeah.
It's normal. I know I went through those phases myself, where you kind of question what your parents taught you, and then maybe you learn a few things on your own, and so you kind of have to just implement new things and new ways of thinking into your life. But I know that I definitely went through that when I was younger too, where I would question certain things and maybe even just like you, like your nature to kind of want to rebel, right? Like you want to like rebel, but then you face really difficult times in your life and it kind of forces you to kind of find that again and ground you.
Exactly.
Yes, I don't know if Yvette has something similar. I'm sure she has.
I don't know. I've been around my parents all the time, so I feel like, I don't know if it's because I'm the only girl and I grew up around boys and I was one of the younger ones that I didn't really question myself. I feel like after anxiety, I started getting anxiety, and I think it was 2022 is when I really was questioning everything from having a kid to being married to everything. And I was like, I never really thought of what I wanted to do. I just did it. I don't know. It just felt right. So life is how it played out. And then after anxiety, there was times where I would go to therapy and I'd feel so weird. I would ask my doctor, am I going crazy or why am I, like, I feel out of a position. I'm grateful for everything that I have, but it hit me like, why am I doing this and how did I get here? And I was like, what? I don't know. It just, anxiety made me think of that. But as a kid, I feel like I didn't really rebel. I mean, there was times where my brothers wouldn't let me go to certain places and then I somehow ended up getting my way after begging my dad or whatever. I don't know. I didn't really think of that until now. So now that you asked me, I'm going to start thinking of that. But I just thought, am I wrong for thinking this way? And my doctor's like, no, this is totally normal. Some people just don't really think of things until after the fact, or like that you're older or that you're in a different stage of life. I was like, I didn't really think of that. But yeah. That's my experience with that.
You're welcome to think about it a little bit longer. And
right?
Always get back to us.
Yeah.
So when did you start? I know you started professionally singing around 2022. Is that right, Days?
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit how you got started in that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, now I feel like it hasn't even been that long, but like there's just so many things that have happened. Like the timeline seems a little bit blurry, but yeah, professionally, I started in 2022, kind of just working on my own music. But maybe a year before that was when I had my first studio session. And one of my friends actually, it was one of my friends that I would always sing around, a little crew that I had. And one in specific, he was like, hey, it's like, I think you need to like make music. Like, you are so talented. You're always singing in front of us. They would always just have me sing covers of songs. We'd be in the parking garage during like COVID and I'd just be singing. He said, you know what, like, I have this friend, like, I think it'd be really good for you to connect with him and maybe just get a recording session in. And I was like, man, like, I've never made my own music. I've never recorded. I don't even know where to start. He goes, don't even worry. Like, I'll take care of it. So then he set the whole thing up. And then I went to my first studio session. And it was kind of a shock because I realized that, yes, I've been singing my whole life at, you know, talent shows, family parties. I was in choir. But singing covers was, and just singing out loud was very different from recording and making my own music, you know, because now I had to develop different skills of what it meant to, what kind of lyrics, like how to project your voice into the mic. Like, it was a completely different, almost felt like a different world. And I was like, man, so am I really a singer? Do I actually know what I'm doing? So that, after that first session, I was a little bit discouraged, to say the least. Because I said, man, like, maybe this isn't for me. Like, it's not sounding like I thought it would in my head. But again, maybe I was just a little bit too hard on myself because it was my first time. So then after that, I think I went back once more and then I took a little bit of a break. But then fast forward to 2022, I ended up reconnecting with some friends from high school, which actually is your brother. So Belu and Zeylani, and they were already working with a producer. So they had mentioned that they were kind of looking for female artists and just anyone else that's interested in singing. And they knew that I would post videos on my Instagram and stuff. So then they kind of took me under their wing and what they had going on, and they brought me along. And then one thing led to another. We just started making music. And since then, like, I just haven't stopped.
Gosh, I think that's so beautiful. I'm really glad that you said that, because the first time I saw you singing, I went to El Mitote to see Zeylani.
Yeah.
You sang some covers of Selena, which, queen, that's my number one top female artist ever, Selena. And I was like, who is this girl? Because she sings nice. I like her. And then I started, like, following you on Instagram. And, of course, I would see you around my brother all the time. And you were always so happy, just like this beautiful smile, always. That's why I'm like, I've been around you so many times, and every time I'm around you, I am just in awe of how positive you are, of how happy you are, of the love and the happiness and the joy that comes just naturally. Like, I don't even think you do it on purpose. It's just so natural. It just comes out of you. And I think that there isn't a lot of people like that, for sure.
Oh my God, that's so sweet. You're like going to make me tear up. It's so amazing.
So beautiful how you guys all have like this group of friends and you all support each other. And there's no envy. There's no jealousy. It's just so much love. And me and Yvette, when we liked to sing too when we were younger. And it was like the time where like girls would be pinned next to each other. You know, like it would be like Britney Spears versus Christina Aguilera. And it was all a competition. And there was so much hostility. It was like we couldn't, you know what I'm saying? Like it was like only one person could come up. You know, like it wasn't how it is now where it's like, no, we want everyone at the table. You know, everyone's welcome. There's a spot for everyone. And I think that that makes such a difference in the kind of music and in the kind of artistry and just in the kind of human beings that people are now. And it's a really beautiful thing to see.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've been very blessed with the people that I have connected with. You know, them being two of the most important ones. You know, we've done so much together, and the opportunity that one gets, we invite the other. So we've always been very supportive of one another, and they've always been super protective. So I've been very blessed with them.
And you were right when you say that singing in public and singing covers is so different from being in a studio behind a mic. I think the first time I heard my voice, I was like, is that really what I sound like? And it was a shock. And I've had that experience too. It gets some getting used to, for sure. But you will definitely belong there. You are so talented. You are so good.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it took some time. It took a lot of reassuring myself, you know, just studying, you know, going online. I love, one of my favorite things to do is seeing other artists in the studio. You know, I'll literally look up Karol G in the studio, Becky G in the studio, and just kind of see what kind of tricks they do, you know, how they go about recording on a mic. Because for the longest time, I felt like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be too loud. And then I'd be so quiet. And then anybody that was in the studio with me would be like, Daisy, like, you have to sound more confident. You have to be louder. So then I would get into my head, and then it would kind of make me shut down more. So it's been a lot of trial and error, but I think I'm getting to a place where I can just do it. I can just go for it. So.
That's awesome. That's awesome that you did your little research. That's so cool. I did see a post where you talk about how you had your mom sign you up for a talent show, I think, at like 5 years old, which I think is so cool. I think it takes a lot of guts. So where does that confidence come from? Like 5-year-old Daisy being like, Mom, sign me up for this. You know, is that just always who you were?
Yeah. Oh, man. I wish I knew. I want to say that it was probably because since I was little, you know, my parents would always be with the camcorder recording me and my siblings. And there's so many videos where I'm like telling my dad, no, grabame. And I'm like trying to get him to point it at me. And then I would just start singing like just random songs, and they would just be hyping me up. It was so funny. So, I mean, I've been singing since for as long as I can remember, probably for as long as I could speak. And my dad knew that I always loved music, and that was something that we always bonded over. So he would always purposely show me female artists. He would show me Whitney Houston, Cyndi Lauper, Selena, you know, and then I would just be listening to them. He'd put on the different CDs. Oh, escucha esta canción. And then just that, just hearing the power in their voice and then seeing them on TV, that was such an inspiration for me. So then when, I don't know, I guess little me saw this opportunity to sing in front of a crowd, and I was like, yep, I'm going to do it. And then my mom would ask me, she said, she always reminds me of it. She was like, are you sure you want to do it? Like, you want to sing a Spanish song? Like, Chappie is like, are you sure? I was like, yes, yes, tú nomás fírmalo. So then I remember just, like, it's still vivid in my mind. I remember being one of the smallest ones, and then just seeing how everybody else was, like, trying out for it and then, like, rehearsing. But I feel like I don't remember being nervous. I kind of just did it. I was just more excited, like, oh, I'm going to be famous. I'm going to be on a stage. And it honestly just came naturally, especially at 5 years old.
I was going to say, Yvette will send me videos of her daughter singing. I think it's so cute. It reminds me of what she was saying. That
Yes. In our minds, we think we look completely different. Like, I remember being on that stage, and then I thought that I was dancing. Pero I looked back at the videos, y nomás le corría pa un lado, pa otro, and I thought I was dancing. But it's so funny. It's funny to see, like, that's one of the moments that it started,
the
you know?
Confidence, though, you know, that comes with that. And, like, you did it, and then, like, you loved doing it after that because, like, no tenías miedo. And I think it helps with that kind of fear because, for me, everything has been fine until I got, like, singing at parties or just when anybody would ask me and I would do it with them. Like, my grandpa and my grandma, like, I love singing, like, rancheras or old songs with them. And so now that I, after anxiety, then they ask me, I'm like, no. Like, unless it's, like, just me and him and nobody's there, then yeah. But, you know, like, it's hard. But I love that bonding. It reminds me a lot of, like, when I have family parties and things like that. But I do see a lot of what you're saying in my daughter. So it's, like, it's cute to see how it comes full circle. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to get her to watch your videos so she can see.
Yes, yes. Oh, my gosh, I love that. Full circle moment for sure.
And in that same post, I think, I can't remember exactly what you were saying, but I saw that it looked like you had kind of been crying. It looked like it was probably like a really emotional post, and it kind of gave me the sense that maybe you've experienced a lot of no in this career.
Oh, yeah.
And so my question would be, in those moments, you know, when people say no, or even yourself, you start to kind of doubt, you know, like, is this for me? What kind of keeps your eye on the prize? You know, like, or does the negativity affect you?
Yeah, so I think as a woman, I've definitely experienced a lot of no, especially in the industry, especially when you're not fitting an image that some people want to, you know, draw out for you. Like, you have to fit this image. And if you don't, I'm sorry, girl, but you're not going to make it. If you're not going to be willing to show this much, sing about this kind of stuff, like, you're not going to make it, you know? So then that, in the beginning, it was a little bit discouraging because I'm just like, man, like, that's what I have to do to make it. That's all that I have to do to make it. But no, then I started just singing, doing my own music, singing what I really wanted to sing about. And I realized that I was more passionate about the way that I was singing. I was able to finish songs quicker because I was doing things, singing about what I actually wanted to sing about. And then when I sing it in front of a public, that reached more people than it would when I was singing about other kinds of lyrics and other things. So I don't know. I guess it's just been reassuring myself and reminding myself that every no is one step closer to a yes, you know? And then you asked about something else. So that was a big no.
If you ever let the negativity affect you or the no's that you hear.
Yeah. So sometimes it does get to me and I feel through it, you know, because at the end of the day, I'm human. I'm meant to feel these things. But it's about, okay, I'm going to allow myself to feel through it, experience it, but then what am I going to do to get out of it, get out of that negative mindset? Like, that's only up to me. Nobody's going to do it for me. It's completely up to me. Yes, I can be sad. I can cry about it. Like, that's normal. But then what am I going to do the next day? Then the next day, I'm going to try my hardest to make one decision that's going to take me into a positive direction. Whether that's, all right, well, I was sad yesterday about this, but today I'm going to make a song about this. You know, or I was sad about this. All right, so I'm going to take a step away from that and I'm going to try something new today. You know, so always just kind of looking forward to the next step and knowing that it doesn't stop at a no or it doesn't stop at the negativity.
I like when you said that every no brings you closer to a yes. I like that. Yvette and I have talked a lot about how, you know, we've kind of let fear interfere with a lot of the things that we've wanted. I've talked about my journey of when I was younger and I loved to sing, and then I let the negativity get to me and I let the no's get to me, and I started believing what these people were saying about me, and I stopped listening to myself. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big reason why I wanted to start this podcast. It was for that little girl that stopped believing in herself, you know, and I wanted to be like, no, like, what I want matters too. And I need to remember that little girl. I need to honor that little girl. And I need to help her find a way out of that.
I love that.
So I love that you were able to do that. You know, I love that you're able to keep pushing through. And even if you hear a no, like, you're still going to get up the next day and you're going to write a beautiful song about it.
let me just say, I really respect both of you for going out of your way to do this, to start this podcast, because nowadays, it's like the industry and just anything that has to do with these kinds of topics and all, it's always led by a man, you know? But I think it's so amazing that I get to talk to two women who have beautiful insight, and you know, you guys know what you're talking about. You guys come from a good place. So I honestly really respect both of you for starting this podcast, and I hope, and I know it's going to lead you guys to big, big moves.
Thank you for saying that. Do you ever experience stage fright days?
Honestly, it's funny because I was thinking about this, and yes, I think I start feeling the stage fright. So if I go to an event, usually I'm kind of just mingling, and I like to say that I'm like breaking in the space. So I'll try to like connect with people. Hey, how's it going? Like, I'm this person, you know, try to make friends, just kind of getting familiar with everybody, feeling out the vibe, you know, because then that kind of sets me up to how I'm going to interact with people. If everyone's kind of more like, oh, maybe more shy, more quiet, then I'll know kind of to take it, you know, tone it down a little bit. If everyone's just right away super hyper, I know I'm just like, all right, I really have to bring the energy. So I think the stage fright mostly comes maybe like 15 minutes before I'm going to perform, you know, it'll come 15 minutes and I'll get a little bit nervous. I'll get butterflies in my stomach. But then the minute that I hit the stage, I think it helps that usually the lights are super bright, so I can't really see the crowd. But the minute that I hit the stage, it's like I'm little me again and I'm fearless and I can just do it. I just want to do it because I'm just like, these people have never heard me. Like a lot of people, this is their first time hearing my music. Like, I want to sing it like it's the first time that I'm singing this song. I want to sing it with the same emotion of when I wrote it, you know? So I always try to put myself into that mindset. And most of the time it's been pretty good. And even the times that I'm just like, oh my gosh, I was so nervous. Most of my friends will be like, you didn't even look nervous. And I'm just like, okay, good, good.
You never look nervous to me.
We're doing something right.
Yeah. You're definitely doing something right. I think you talked a little bit about your musical influences, but what have been or who has been your biggest inspiration?
Biggest inspiration? Probably the few that I named, and they're all women, you know, and they're all very different. So Whitney Houston, Selena, and Celine Dion, and who was the other one? I mean, nowadays it's like Karol G and Becky G, you know, just seeing how they've, because even like in interviews, I really, really love listening to interviews of other women artists, and they themselves, they've experienced a lot of no's. So that's actually motivation for me, because I'm just like, wow, so they've experienced so much no's, they've gone through so much, but look at where they are now. You know, if you just keep pushing through that, eventually you could get somewhere that you want to get. So they've been my musical inspirations, not just because of their music, because all of them have such amazing voices, such powerful voices, but just because of them being women, they're so independent. Their independence as women, they don't really have a lot of fear to say what they want to say. So I've really, really been influenced by that.
They're powerful.
Very powerful.
Yeah. I think that's what I, for me, it's always been, of course, I like music now, but for me, if you were to ask me, it's always going to be Selena, 1,000%, Selena Quintanilla. And I think that what I loved most about her was that she could sing anything and it would sound amazing. Exactly. You know, like she could sing a ranchera, she could sing a cumbia, she could sing with mariachi, she could sing Tex-Mex, anything. And it just was amazing because she made everything her own, you know? And like you, like she was always had this beautiful smile on her face and you could just feel it. And I just remember as a little girl, and she was Mexican-American, I'm Mexican-American, and she just made me feel powerful. Yeah. And those are the kind of artists that I love. The ones that just make you feel like you can do anything.
Exactly.
And just as a girl, it doesn't mean you can't make it.
Yeah, and I love that she was one of the first to do the English and Spanish.
Yes.
Didn't stop at one, didn't say, oh, well, I'm not Mexican enough, oh, I'm not American enough. You know what, I'm going to do both. I love that. And that's, I think that's what I'm trying to go for, is because at first I was like, man, do I just want to sing Spanish? Do I just want to sing English? But I'm just like, wait, but I'm bilingual. I can do both if I wanted to. And who's going to tell me no? No one. Selena did it. Karol G's doing it. All of them.
Yeah, Becky G is a great example of somebody who nowadays is doing it too as well. So I love your song Mariposa. I think that's my favorite song of yours. I just love it so much. I feel like I could just relate to it, you know, on like a deep level. And there's a part in the song where you say, yo te vi, yo me estaba ahogando cuando te vi, yo te rogaba, sálvame a mí. I just felt that so deep in like my core. And I think you write a lot of your own music. So can you tell us a little bit about that song, what it's meant to you, what inspired you to write it? Yeah, just tell us a little bit about that song.
So that song, most of the time I would be in the studio with other people when I was making my own songs. But I had a vision for this specific song. So then I had asked my engineer at the time, Andre, I told him, hey, like, would it be okay if I took the equipment home and just kind of thought of an idea by myself? Like, I know I just wanted to be in a space by myself. Sometimes the boys would, like, step out of the studio, give me some time. But then I always knew that they were going to come back. And then I would just get a little bit shy because at the end of the day, like, I'm a girl. I'm more of a softie. I'm more emotional. And, you know, I just have different ideas. So then he said, yeah, go for it. He gave me all the equipment. I went home and I was kind of like, okay, so like, where do I start? Like, how do I do this? I set up my equipment on a chair and then I made like a little fort. So I felt like a little girl that was just recording in my room with like a pink fort. And that moment I was like, man, like, this is kind of like, it brought me back to being like little again. So that's kind of what sparked the idea where I wanted to talk to my younger self. And just like a butterfly, you start off as a caterpillar, you go into a cocoon, a little hiding, and then you bloom into a butterfly. So then, and I've always been resonated with butterflies. I actually just got a tattoo of a butterfly, a little baby tattoo. It's like right here on my shoulder.
So
of a little mariposa, because that's the cover of my recent project. But yeah, that's kind of what inspired that. And then my mom's always been my best friend. She has always pushed me. She is the strongest woman that I know. So I reference my mom in that because I know that no matter what, no matter how big I get, no matter how old I get or how small I was, like, my mom was always the one reassuring me and telling me, like, everything's going to be okay. Like, she is my best friend and everything. And I know I'm always going to have comfort in her because she's the woman that raised me, you know, and she's making me the woman that I am today and continue to grow into. So
beautiful. I think that's what we want for like our own daughters too. Yvette and I both have daughters, and I think that's what I want. I want to be her biggest cheerleader, and I want to be her safe place always. Her safe place.
So yeah, I agree.
Yeah, you said that about your mom.
Yeah, when I showed her the song for the first time, she was just crying. She goes, oh my gosh, Jess, because she saw when I was like saying, mommy, ubícame, like telling her that like in my darkest of times, like she's who I'm going to look for, you know? So it's probably one of my favorite songs too to this day.
Probably crying, I'm sure. And you just released your EP, correct?
Yes.
How has that been for you? I know you've gotten a lot of support and a lot of positive comments, and I love it personally. How has that been for you?
I mean, it was a little bit nerve-wracking. These are songs that I've been working on probably for maybe a year and a half. Some songs are a little older, some are more recent. So it's just kind of phases that I've been going through in the last year. And I'd say it's a pretty vulnerable project. You know, like the lyrics that I talk about, it's very much about love and, you know, the phases of love, the destinations of love, hence it's called Destinos. It was a really fun project to work on and deciding what songs are going to go in, what songs aren't. Originally, I was like, oh, it's going to be 10 songs. Oh, no, I want it to be 8 songs. Oh, maybe just 6. And it was a lot of like subbing out and subbing in. I think I ended in a good place with those songs I wanted to share that kind of reflect who I am and what I was going through this past year. But it's funny because now present day, it feels like I'm a completely different person from those songs. So now I'm excited to then keep working on songs to then drop another EP that then resonates what I've been going through after the fact. So it's super interesting. Projects are really interesting because those songs are that you made a while back maybe might not be what reflect what has happening present day, but it's still an experience, you know? So I love the project. I dropped it. I kind of just let my Instagram, anyone who supports me, you know, listen to it on their own, draw their own conclusions, make what they want of the project. But in the next coming weeks is when I'm going to draw visuals and videos that go with each song. So now I'm going to add an emotion to it so people can see where I was coming from, what I really intended for this song. And it's going to almost give people, I feel, like a different experience for the song. Maybe they had their own conclusion of this song. They see the visual and they're just like, oh, this is what she meant by it. Oh, okay, now it gives a different feeling to it. Oh, it's not a sad song. It's actually this kind of song. So yeah, it's super fun. I'm honestly super excited to just kind of keep continuing with it and dropping all these little visualizers with it. It should be really fun.
What is an EP?
What is an EP?
Yes.
It's not an album, because usually an album is like 10 plus songs. An EP is just kind of a small project. You know, so I only have 6 songs. It's my first project. So it kind of just gives a little bit more of who I am as an artist, more of like an intro, because I've only dropped like 3 singles before this. So this is really more of like, oh, this is the kind of artist that I am, and this is my sound as of now.
I love that. And I love that you said that as of now, you're somebody else. So it's like you're evolving as you're making music, which is really beautiful to see, you know, transcourse of the whole journey that you've been going through. So I can't wait to hear it.
Yes,
thanks. I can't wait to watch the videos, the ones you're going to be dropping about each song. I think that's so beautiful about music, is that we all kind of do interpret it differently. So something that you may have intended to be a happy song, somebody else might think it's a sad song. But I just love that it connects all of us. And I love the kind of music that makes you feel something.
Yes, exactly.
And I know, and that's the kind of artist that you are. So I really congratulate you for that.
Thank you.
And something that I recently learned is that you are also as an FSU graduate, like myself, a fellow FSU graduate. So, yay! And then you did tell us a little bit about your legal assistant. Can you tell us a little bit about what keeps you humble, what keeps you grounded? Do you ever fear that fame will change you?
Honestly, I don't think so. I genuinely don't think that fame would ever change me, at least not for the negative. I think it would only change me for the positive, because with the kind of work that I do right now, I hear stories that you would never even imagine. I am constantly hearing these really tragic stories, and a lot of them come from my people, you know, mi raza, you know, working as a legal assistant, helping people, undocumented people get their papers and their citizenship and all, adjust status. And even now with my other job at the children's shelter, these kids have really traumatic backgrounds. So I think that alone keeps me grounded, and it makes me realize, I mean, I never like to compare struggles with anybody, but it sometimes reminds me that, like, you know, maybe something that I see as like a bad thing or something that's a problem to me, like someone else would see as a blessing. Like, man, that's the kind of problem that you have, and these people are really, really going through it, and their stories are always motivating me, and that alone just really keeps me humble and grounded, and reminds me that I want to do this for the right reasons, and the right reasons only because I want to remember that there are other people that are going through it, and I hope to one day be able to give back as much as I can to these kinds of people now that I've known stories on such a personal, personal level.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine that you hear so many stories and so many hardships, it almost kind of, not that you want to compare, but sometimes it doesn't, you can't help but be like, wow, like my problems are so small in comparison to what they're going through. And I have noticed that when I've gone to see you sing, you do take the time and you're out there in the crowd and you're saying hi to people and you want to hear their stories. And to me, that just shows how humble you are, and you don't forget where you came from and the work that you do. You obviously care a lot about your community. Those are the kinds of things that will keep you grounded and make you such a beautiful, caring person.
Yes, I'm very blessed with just the way my life has played out, because when I graduated from SSU and I got my degree in criminal justice, even then, I never thought that I was going to go on to be a police officer or anything like that, because I didn't like that area of following a system that was already built. I always knew that I wanted to be part of the reform perspective of things.
Yeah.
And even just like when I'd be in class, I knew that I was always very passionate to the point where I would be like, might as well get watery when I was speaking in front of the class, talking about certain issues. And all of my professors would usually recognize that and be like, wow, Daisy, like, I can see how passionate about this you are. So like, keep going, keep, you know, use that passion to drive you as far as you can. So I'm happy that I ended up in the jobs that I'm in, where I can actually change people's life for the better without being part of the punishment part of it.
So I know that you love your day job. Obviously, music is your passion. Music is really what you want to do, I think, you know, long term. But did you ever want to be anything other than a professional singer? Because when you were a little girl, did you ever want to be something else? Or just have you always known, like, no, like, music is my passion. This is what I want to do forever.
I mean, I always knew music was my passion, and it was something that, I don't know, it's almost like a, almost like my gut always told me that I would fall into it eventually, something music related. But I also knew that I would have something to do with, like, and this kind of work that I can do now, you know? So I feel like I have the best of both worlds, doing what I am passionate about, but doing also what I'm passionate about in regards to music. So right now, I think I have the best of both worlds, I'd say.
It's awesome. I love that. Introduce yourself, I guess.
I think my main priority is definitely music. I want to keep elevating and seeing where I can go with that. And with my job, I mean, right now I feel very comfortable with both of my jobs. And within my jobs, I think I'm still working on growing. I want to become an accredited representative to actually go with some of my clients to their interviews with USCIS and all. And I think that's as far as I want to go with that, because coworkers will be like, Daisy, do you want to go to law school? Do you want to be a lawyer? And I'm like, oh, I don't think I could do law school. Maybe when I'm older, maybe I'll do music for a few years and it'll get me pretty far. And then, yeah, when I'm like in retirement, I'll go to law school and just be like an old little lawyer.
Okay.
Maybe like Kim Kardashian, where she's like doing law now.
Exactly. I'm just like, why not? You can do whatever you want.
You can do it all. The sky's the limit, Kate.
Exactly.
And has quitting ever crossed your mind?
I feel like yes and no. Yes, where I'll just have like an emotional moment where I'm just like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to do this. I'm just not going to do it anymore. I'm not going to follow through to it. But then I always tell myself, I'm lying. Like, I know I want to do this and I know I could do it. So I'm not going to stop. Like, I'm so stubborn. I'm stubborn. I'll just have like a little brat moment, a little petty moment where it's like, yo no lo quiero hacer, no voy a poder. But then I kind of check myself. I'm just like, no, you can do it. You can do it. You're just being lazy. You're just being a little salty for whatever reason, but you can do it.
It's very normal to have those moments, but, you know, I don't think it's you being salty. I think it's just we're human, you know? And sometimes we have our bad days where we're like, I don't want to do this anymore, but you have to remember, I guess, that there's more purpose behind it, you know? I don't see you doing this just for fame or money. The feeling I get is that this is really just something that just bleeds out of you. Like, it's just part of you.
Yeah.
And you can't do anything else. It's just is what you do. This is who you are.
Yes.
So I'm glad you're not quitting.
I know. If I ever do one of those posts on Instagram, like, guys, I think I'm done with music. Just say you're lying. Just girl, go to bed.
We're going to put that in the comment. Girl, you're lying.
Yeah.
So are there any future plans that you want to share with us, or share your socials where people can find you?
Oh, you can find me on all platforms under Daisy Margarita. And future plans, I mean, usually on my Instagram. I tend to share most of it. I'm trying to get better at TikTok because I know then I can reach like a bigger audience. But as of right now, I kind of post all like my show updates and, you know, little events that I have coming up on my Instagram. So stay tuned.
And then the last questions that we like to end all of our interviews with are, what's the worst advice that you've ever received? And what is the best advice that you've ever received?
Oof, those are good ones. I think some of the worst advice I've ever received has probably been people telling me that I wouldn't be able to make it without them, saying that I have to do this or I have to do that or I have to do how they're telling me or else I won't make it, you know? So I'm trying to like force me into this box of like, you have to do this, you have to do this, or you're not going to make it. And if you want to make it, then you better follow the rules and you better listen to what I'm saying. So I think that's probably been the worst advice. And then the best advice is just anybody that I see, whether it's I'll be at the gym and like an old friend will come by. And the words that I hear a lot is keep going. The amount of times I've just heard those two words, like people will reply to my stories like, Daisy, keep going. Like just telling you to keep going, don't stop, keep going, keep going. That fuels me so, so much. I love hearing those words because it's like, okay, I'm on a good path. And people are like, no, like, sigue, do not stop here. Like, you can do this. Like, keep it going, keep it going. And I take that with me every single day.
That's beautiful, Daisy. I like that. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for coming on here with us. We are so, so grateful. Is there anything that we didn't ask you that you maybe wanted to talk about?
Oh, not that I could think of right now. I think you guys hit all the best points. So I'm really happy. I'm really, really content with our conversation. Both of you are very, very good interviewers. I really, you know, respect both of you. And just for honestly doing your research, you know, and kind of getting to know me beforehand, knowing, like, I love that. That's a true podcaster right there.
I'm a fan.
No, but seriously, thank you so much for this opportunity, for, you know, giving me the space to talk a little bit about myself and what I do and share my story. This really means a lot to me.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. And if you haven't subscribed to the podcast, please subscribe to the podcast. Hit the like button if you're watching on YouTube. And we appreciate all the comments and all the love that we've been receiving. And you can also email us if you would like to do that as well.
Thank you guys for coming on, and I hope to see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.